Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
You'll notice I didn't use the hot body part of my name there.
Right.
I didn't want to raise the temperature.
Oh.
We're talking about beds.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't want to, you know, announce myself as hot body at the same time, because that could cause...
Put the two things together.
Fucking
chaos.
Hell, yeah. Chaos. A sexual sensation.
Well, I said nifty, and that... Is nifty a word that it has any sexual connotations? I mean, you could say...
I can't think of any. Not any good connotations.
Maybe some of the ladies round my way... Back in the day, so Sam Delaney's a bit nifty in the bedroom.
He's nifty between the sheets. That's not a good thing, is it?
I'm pretty sure Luther Vandross released an album called Nifty in the Bedroom in 1983.
I'll take your word for that. Mm. Did it have Shut My Body Down on it?
Yeah, it did, yeah. That was the single.
Shut my body down. We will get around to doing that one day. We'll have to write it for the next live show we do.
Yeah.
Right, so we're looking at the bed. It's history box. It's history of the bed. We didn't get very far in. We just got basically a basic definition
what
of the bed, last time. What is a bed? What am bed? There's a bit more information here. We're just working from the Wikipedia page of the bed, because why not? Whilst most beds are single mattresses on a fixed frame, there are other varieties, such as the Murphy bed, which folds into a wall. I never knew that was called the Murphy bed.
But I've always dreamt of having one, haven't you?
It's a good rig addition, isn't it? Because it just saves space.
The only time I've seen one, and I might have even talked about this episode of my life on last week's show, but I definitely talked about it recently. But do you remember when I told you
somewhere.
About... Do you remember I told you about how... Jeff Hurst bowled into a stag I was on at Upton Park.
Yeah.
Oi, dickhead, what's all this then?
World Cup winner, are ya?
Stand
by your attention.
But in the room, in the corporate hospitality rooms at Upton Park,
have Murphy beds?
Yes.
What?
Yes. Simple as that, mate. Because they made them hotel rooms that you could stay in.
Though,
why anyone, apart from on match day, I always like the idea of potentially getting a room there on match day. So, you know, in my drinking days, you get really drunk and then not have to worry about getting home. Just like get the Murphy bed out and have a lovely sleep. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I was looking at the Sunderland executive box offering recently. And you can, it says, obviously you get it for match days, but you can also use it Monday to Friday for meetings and shit.
Yeah.
With clients.
For potential manferences.
For manference meetings, yeah. Or even if you've got a business or something like that, you can have a meeting in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, come to me box. Put me executive box. We'll have a meeting overlooking the pitch.
That's actually a really good idea, because nowadays, I mean, all over fucking London, every second building now is one of these WeWork places, you know.
Yeah.
WeWork or Work Cunt or whatever it's called. You'll remember I had one. Desk cunt.com. And you remember that I rented quite an expensive desk cunt, which you visited once or twice.
Yeah.
And that was where the terrible Rank Xerox debacle
took
place.
The vibe wasn't good there.
By the way, the fucking Yeah, the juju was bad in my desk camp.
Yeah, it was.
The fucking... Fucking... That Xerox thing has come back to haunt me, believe it or not.
No.
It came back from the grave last week. Do you know why? Turns out, there was a service agreement with a separate company, but one that Xerox basically force you into, right?
Right.
So you get the Xerox, and then, like, you pay Xerox for the machine. But it's one of these sort of scams, I think, whereby they say, but also you have to have a service arrangement. We can't rent you this machine unless you are making sure that it's properly looked after. And you have to have the service arrangement with this company. It's not us. It's separate, right? Or so they claim. And I didn't know, but we also were paying them a yearly amount, right? So they've got in touch and said, you owe us money, right? And we said, what the fuck are you talking about? We haven't had the fucking photocopier since, like, last summer. And they're like, well, unfortunately...
It was in the lockup for a while before that. Oh, yeah, well, it was in the storage.
Yeah. They don't give a shit about that, though. You can't argue that with them. They'll go, no, read the small print, dickhead.
Doesn't matter.
This is the level of scam. And they were like, well, unfortunately, you say you haven't had it, but no one notified us of that. So we were like, what? So you're saying we have to pay anyway? Well, yeah. Like fuck, we're gonna, right?
Yeah.
And I thought,
take
fine.
Us to court, dickheads.
Hey, do yourself a favour. Call up head of corporate communications at Xerox and find out what I did to them last time they tried one of these. Because I am ready, willing, and able to fucking fire up all over again. I was getting ready. I was like, I'm fine. I'm going to go on Twitter and start all over again. You're coming back for a second. Anyway.
Yeah.
We got documentation and an email thread, right? But they still, they insisted on a form that I'd never heard of, an official cancellation of contract form, which if I couldn't produce, they reckon they were still within their rights to charge me for the service of a photocopier that I hadn't had for like over a year or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So obviously this is madness and I'm getting very irate very quickly. And
obviously.
And they... And then, in the end, they sort of seem like they're backed off. Then, like, on Friday, I get a call from someone in, like, Bangladesh saying, we are phoning to arrange the collection of your photocopier.
What?
The irony, because I'd been chasing them to do that last summer for ages, and they never called me. Yeah. I said, well, we hear you're cancelling your service agreement, but it can't be cancelled until the photocopier has been officially collected.
Well,
I said it was collected last fucking July, so I don't know where it is, but it's not in my possession.
Yeah.
Anyway, watch your space, because that story's still not over. Fucking
Xerox.
Yeah,
it's not. I don't feel like you're going to come out of this well either. I think this
is
going
to
end up...
I'm not paying a penny. I'll go to jail if I have to.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Free the Xerox one.
That'll be good content. That'll be good content. If we just get some episodes in the bag before you do...
You know what it'll be
guess
like?
Guess how long you're going to go in for.
This Britney Spears thing that everyone's been going on about. I don't know if you've seen it, right?
I haven't watched it yet, no.
I can't remember what it's called. Is it called Free Britney Spears or something?
Free Britney, I think.
Free Britney.
Yeah, something like that.
It'll be like that. It'll be a campaign that you can make a documentary about. Sam Delaney, previously known as Britain's best journalist, has been in prison, in Wandsworth prison, for 2 years due to an administrative oversight over a photocopier that he rented from the multinational admin company Xerox. No one knows. There's all these different human rights lawyers. Keir Starmer's been involved in it and everything.
Yeah. It feels as if this could be your greatest journalistic feat to date.
Yeah, it could be.
If you go through with it. Do you think you would be prepared to go on hunger strike in prison like the IRA prisoners did in 1981? Yeah. Would you be prepared to die for this?
Yes.
Yes, I would.
Yes, I would. And let it be known now, on record, right?
Yeah.
For all of our millions of listeners to know that I, Sam Delaney, am prepared to die in protest at the treatment I have received from Xerox.
I am prepared to wear a blanket in my jail cell and carry out a dirty protest on the walls. And then I will move on
to
the hunger strike.
I'm going to waterboard myself.
Yeah, fucking hell.
In prison.
he's not fucking about, boys and girls. He's going to waterboard himself. So there we are. Yeah, we'll see what happens, but I don't think they're going to walk away from this, Sam. This feels like a collision course situation.
Well, they know what the stakes are now. I'm putting my life on the line.
I'm sure they've got a dossier on you where they know what you're capable of.
They'll drag my reputation through the mud to try and put me off, but I don't care. I don't care.
It'll be a smear campaign that will release information about you to the media.
What can they say about me that hasn't been said already, mate?
Well, this is true.
The pharmacists did their worst last year, didn't they?
They did. I mean, they could always just troll through back episodes of this podcast and find all sorts to put out about you. But we'll see. We're not here to talk about this. We're here to talk about the bed.
Mm.
So that's the Murphy bed, which we've just done 15 minutes on. The sofa bed, we know about that. The bunk bed.
Yeah, it's not so good. These really ancient beds, like early beds, were little more than piles of straw. Ugh.
It mentions the hammock as well, though. I was just going to say, it mentions the hammock, which hammock season's coming around again soon.
It is,
I can't recommend the hammock enough. It is the best 40 quid I ever spent at Lidl when I got one last year. So keep an eye on Lidl for the
hammock. If only I'd bought a number of hammocks for my staff rather than that Xerox machine. Maybe history would have,
different story.
Treated
we
me
probably
more
wouldn't
kindly.
Be doing this podcast. Probably wouldn't be doing this podcast now. You'd be still in that office.
Just be in that hammock earning millions.
Yeah.
Because imagine how motivated my team would be to have turned up every day, worked their hardest.
So they do some hammocking. Yeah.
In their hammock. And they'd be like, but how are we supposed to make a copy of this document? Don't worry about that. Just type it out twice.
Just take a picture of it with your phone, then send me it. Piece of piss. Some beds, it says at the end of that paragraph, some beds are made especially for animals. Which is quite a vague sentence, I think, in the history of the bed.
I like if it just ended there. Just went on to the next
subject.
Some
beds are made especially for animals. We call them animal beds.
Mm.
That's that. So,
Does your dog have a bed, its own little bed?
It has a bed in the kitchen, A while ago, he began to refuse to go to bed at night. Because he goes in the kitchen into his bed and the door has to be shut.
Yeah.
And he refused to do it. And then I realised after a few weeks, I'm not having this. So now I basically have to try and capture him when it's bedtime because he's asleep on the sofa. I have to pick him up and then put him in his bed like a little baby. And he's got a little blanket. He's got a little blanket that goes over it as well, right?
Oh, mate.
So I put him in his bed. I tuck him in under his blanket. He doesn't fight back or anything. He's like, fair day.
He knows what's good for him.
It's a fair cop. Bedtime, okay. Before I would go, come on, Oscar, time for bed, bedtime. And he would trot into the kitchen and get into his bed. And then he'd realise, fuck this, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
So now I capture him,
and
put him in his bed.
Pets do get grumpier as they get older.
Yeah, this cunt is. I mean, he's 7 now, which is like, he's 7 in a couple of months, which is 49 in dog years. So he's the same age as me.
Yeah, he's middle-aged.
So we're on exactly the same wavelength.
Yeah,
psychologically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Morning, Oscar. How are you? How do you think I fucking am? What do you want me to say? I'm 49 years old.
Prospects. No job. Single.
No fucking social life to speak of.
No savings, no pension.
Thank you very much, COVID. Even though dogs can't get it, it's still affecting our lifestyles.
I mean, you say COVID, but I've been reading some stuff on the internet and I'm not sure it's even a thing. I've read a lot of people call them conspiracy theories, but no, I think there's a lot of truth there. I'm not even sure it's really a pandemic. But and then I put him in his bed, cover him with his blanket, and then he gets a little piece of cheese as I say goodnight.
I didn't know you could give a dog cheese.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, they love cheese. Yeah.
You're not supposed to give a dog chocolate, though, are you?
You can't give them chocolate. Chocolate will kill them instantly. So I've let them believe. Give him a fucking
death.
Give him a fucking smarty, and he'll be dead within 30 seconds. It's a little bit of bed cheese, we call it. Well, I call it that.
What type of cheese? You give him the good stuff, like the extra mature?
Nah, I get
you wouldn't give him the Malakintyre. I know that's hard to get now.
But can you get it down
no,
there?
No, you were right.
No, it's gone.
I started seeing extra mature Canadian cheddar, which seems weird because I just think cheddar's a fucking place in Britain. So why in the fucking, I don't know whether it's to do with Brexit and we're trying to cozy up to the Canadians or what, but why on earth would we have to be importing cheddar from fucking miles away?
Well, cheddar is a place, but it's not in the Mullican Tire either. But
yeah, no, true.
Cheddar's a place and a thing.
But it comes to, at the end of the day, it comes to fucking, I don't mind getting it from Mullican Tire, especially when it's that nice, right? At least that's Scotland. At least there was a song about it, right? But yeah. But name me a song about Canada. You can't.
No.
Right? Well, no, but I said to the wife, what's all this Canadian cheddar? What happened to Mullican Tire? She went, can't get it for love nor money. And I was like, oh. Andy said that was the same situation in Sunderland. When I say things like that, she just looks through me and leaves the room. As if that's relevant to the conversation.
The Sunderland scene. Does she not acknowledge the Sunderland scene?
It's just like, she just thinks, she's very like sort of Spock in some ways, my good wife. Like, she very much deals in only the necessary information. Yeah. She's, you
I
know,
like that's good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's basically the opposite of me. There's no kind of fat on chaos. The bones of conversation. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. She's just sort of like, so if I go, well, why have we got Canadian cheddar? And then I'll start rambling about that and come up with the conspiracy theories about Brexit, so forth. She'll just say, because there is no Mullican Tire cheddar. And that, to her mind, that's the end of the conversation. But then I start telling her about the cheddar situation in Sunderland, and she's thinking, this is just a waste of everyone's time and effort and energy.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing to add to it, is there? You're saying that to her. There's nothing to add.
Come back. Come back. Andy says that he can't get it. I mean, he usually goes to the Astas.
He can't get it in Asta. So, no, he just, I buy those little sticks of individually wrapped cheddar.
Yeah.
And he gets a little bit off that, so the, one of them will last like 4 nights maybe.
Little nibble.
So there's not a great deal of financial outlay, but he really likes the cheddar. He thinks it's a great thing.
Jalapeño.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Jalapeño.
I always look at dog beds very enviously. Like, I love pretty much any type of bed. And I see the beauty in all of them. And when I see a dog's bed, they're sometimes a bit matted. Sometimes you get those ones that are made of fabric. They're not even a proper basket. I don't know what type Oscar has, but
he's got a fabric one, but it's got quite a stiffened outer core.
Yeah,
so it's
but
not
over the
too
years,
floppy.
Can go floppy a bit, but whatever. Yeah, even when they're like that, I sort of think, oh, look, that dog's body has really made its mark on that bed, and the bed has sort of like grown around him, morphed to his shape and his specifications. Mm-hmm. And they've got there, they've usually got a little chewed toy and a little blanket. Yeah. And I just always want to get inside of it with them.
Yeah, but you're too big.
Too big.
If you had the option of being able to get a human adult sized dog bed in place of your current bed, would you have that?
Oh, it would be, if it was an either or situation, it would be a hard decision. If there was one on the market, a dog bed, but that was human sized, I would definitely buy one, yeah.
You'd have to sample it first, wouldn't you?
Mm.
You know what I mean? You have to give it a few nights to try it out.
Well, I'm not sure if my wife would go for it, but as I've said before,
I was just going to say that.
I think the whole notion of husbands and wives sharing beds is
wrong.
I just think it's weird.
Yeah.
I've said it before. It just doesn't make sense. And it's nothing to do. If I say that, I've floated this with my wife, and she sort of took offence, right? But I said, no, look, it's nothing to do with you. It's not personal. But I just think it's sort of crazy. It, like, to me, I've said it before, I think it's like to do with the patriarchy. It's like, you're my wife now. We have, it has been acknowledged in a house of God. There is certification. There are documents. It is legal, right? Straight away, you're thinking, that's quite weird. Marriage is quite a weird thing. I say that as a married man, but it's quite weird. It feels to me like it's rooted in the patriarchy, right?
Yeah.
And then, on top of that, it's like, and now we are married. We shall share a home. But not just a home. We shall lie beside each other in a specially made bed so that I may monitor you at all times. So I must make sure that you are not sharing, lying beside other men in when night falls.
In the other room.
It's an ownership thing.
Yeah. Well, there's some of that as well. I did a tweet yesterday. I'd been out for a walk with a dog during the day, which I don't normally do. I try and keep it to the evenings when it's quieter. And obviously there was loads of people strolling around because it was a spring weekend. And the fuckers who are completely unable to walk single file on the pavement for a few seconds in order to let you pass kind of safely during
the
COVID
period. Holding hands, are they?
Holding hands. And that feels like a patriarchal thing as well. As somebody said on Twitter,
I think that,
they seem to be unable to fucking not be together, linked, in case one of them runs away.
Yeah, that's right.
For a few seconds.
I'm not a big hand holder. I sort of think, I went for a walk with my missus yesterday, and my daughter said, did you hold hands when you were walking? I don't know what she was getting at. She was probably about
to be cynical. I was going to say, was that a genuine question, or was she trying to get at you somehow?
Yeah, she was trying to get us. I don't know what the angle was, but there's always an angle. But I called her bluff and went, no, we didn't, actually, because we didn't. Because I don't need to be doing a public display the whole time of, she's mine.
PDA.
She's mine. She's my property. Don't try and come and touch her.
You can look, but don't touch. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, fucking hand holding.
I've got and it's impractical.
So the principle of it is wrong, but also it's having a very serious practical impact on people in the, especially in the current pandemic situation.
I'm not sure how we got to that.
Bed chat.
Yeah, I was going to say, the dog bed situation, a human dog bed. It wouldn't surprise me if this doesn't already exist.
No, a lot of people like to live as dogs. There was a documentary about it, wasn't there?
Yeah, I was going to say, in, let's say, hipster London, for example, there might well be dog hotels for humans where you can turn up and experience a full adult dog experience.
There'll be a bar in Dalston called Dog Bed. Yeah. And you go there. And
you have to drink out of a bowl on the floor.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of a pint
glass.
You have
to drink craft ale out of a bowl on the fucking floor in a basket. And then they feed you dog biscuits.
Not that we've got a problem with craft ale. Not that we've got a problem with craft ale on this podcast.
What, because
We've been sponsored by craft ale companies in the past. And we'll be again. And it's a fantastic
industry.
But
all I would
industry.
Say is, craft ale's fine, but don't drink it from a bowl out of a dog bed. Just drink it as it's intended out of a nice glass, standing
drink
up like a human.
For fuck's sake. So, that's animal beds. You said there was something about straw that you'd saw there a bit earlier on?
They're just talking about beds at the dawn of time. In 2020, scientists reported the discovery of the oldest grass bedding from at least 200,000 years ago. Now, this is the sort of thing that I always think, fucking prove it.
Fucking prove it, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? And now on Radio 4, we're joined by John Scientist from the Institute of Science in America. We're told you've found a remarkable discovery. Yeah, that's right. That's right, Sue. Basically, we found the oldest ever bed. Oh, how fascinating.
It is 200,000 years old. Bang on. To the day.
We've measured it with our instruments, and we can really, like, they're quite advanced now. You can, like, really, work out how old something is from sticking your instrument into it.
We put the data into a machine, and it's going to give us a reading.
It's all barked out a reading on a bit of paper. Like, you know what, one of them old machines you see in the films that the rich fellas like Daddy Warbox out of Annie used to get all the stocks and shares through on.
One of them ticker machines, they ticker call machines, it.
Ticker machines, that's one of them. It's like, it works one. Very much like that, but this is more scientific than financial. Anyway, it's the oldest bed. And what's it made out of? Ah, good question, good question. It is made of grass. and it's much older, this is the important bit, it's much older than any previously known bedding that have been discovered by anyone else.
We are now top of the league when it comes to bedding info in the world.
So all the other things that have ever been done about it, ignore that, tear
it up. Void.
Listen, we've rewritten the rule book. They speculate, and there's the key word, speculate, that insect-repellent plants and ash layers, sometimes due to burned older grass beddings, found beneath the bedding have been used for a dirt-free insulated base and to keep away arthropods. How it works, is this. What happens is you put a load of grass and you find special plants, insect-repellent plants. Oh, and they would know those. Oh, yeah. They were all over it back in them days because the biggest threat would have been insects, see? So they'd have got these special plants, but underneath there's ash, and the ash would have been the previous bed, what they burnt when they were finished. And that's the interesting thing. So at the end of each day, there was no fucking around changing bed sheets, right? You'd sleep for the night, and then the next morning you'd set fire to your bed and lay a new one on top. And, you know, it does make a lot of sense even today, the amount we fucking spend on bed clothes.
So you've said here that this bed was 200,000 years old, but then you've also mentioned burned older grass beds. So would it not be older than 200,000 years then? All right, 201,000 years then, you cunt.
Fuck it. Yeah, all right. I mean, we hadn't thought of that, but good point. I'm glad we came on. Because, there's loads of burnt beds underneath, so it must go back even further.
We're having a meeting this afternoon, I'll bring it up. Thank you very much.
And let me tell you, Sue, as well, I will give you credit for that. For that keen observation. Now, is there anything else?
Can I go?
And what other things will you be researching? So we're going to tell you about the oldest ever chair, what we're very close to discovering.
And what was that made out of? Grass.
Insect repellent grass. Anyway, say it, TTFN.
We think we found a really old kettle made out of grass.
We're not sure yet. It's a kettle, but we're pretty sure. earliest bed. And then... after that, there was some made of straw, some were made of palm leaves, animal skins. Well, that would still go dead. Like Peter Stringfellow only ever slept on animal skins, didn't he?
Yeah. But he was a very old man as well, wasn't he?
So dried bracken.
Bracken.
An important change was raising them off the ground, of course, to avoid drop. Yeah. But, of course, some people would still sleep on a futon today. And... when I was a teenager, I owned a futon that I thought... in fact, when I was a student, I mean, it's a cliche, but I actually did. Someone gave me a futon that they didn't need anymore. It was secondhand. Yeah. And I thought, yeah, pretty cool, because in the nighttime, I'll have the futon out. But in the daytime, if I have some pals around to just chill, I could say, hey, sit on my sofa, right?
Yeah.
But
I mean, it's kind of like a Murphy bed almost halfway. Doesn't go right into the wall, but it ain't out all day like a proper bed.
It's really uncomfortable. And one time we went to stay at a friend's years ago, up in your neck of the woods, actually, up near the north, in the northeast. And and we got really drunk, me and my mate. And then when we came back, it was like we'd gone too early. When you haven't seen an old mate for a long time, in those days, you get overexcited and you're out of your hometown. You get overexcited. So like we arrived, you know, on a Friday afternoon, and I got to his house, and I straight away went, let's go to the pub. So we went to the pub, you know, about like fucking 4 o'clock. by 7 or 8 o'clock, I've come back to his house and there was plans for the evening, like going out for dinner and stuff. And I'm paralytic. And I said, where are we staying? And he said, upstairs, there's a futon in the spare room, upstairs on your left. So I said, I'm just going to go and have a look. And then I disappeared. And when my wife came to find me, my girlfriend as she was at the time, I was lying on, I'd found the futon, but I was too, because it's a real hassle getting a futon out. They're really heavy. And if you're drunk, no fucking chance. So she found me clothed, but with shoes off, sort of with the futon still in sofa form, with my head on the futon. And then my sort of body zigzagged downwards onto the floor. And I was immovable.
Like a
she
slinky.
Had to just sleep on, she had to sleep on the floor because my snaked body was just like hanging off the edge of a fucking futon at 8 p.m. And I slept through till the next morning. So don't, all I'm saying is, kids, don't believe the hype when it comes to futons, because you think I'll be sophisticated because it's a bed and a sofa all in one. But ultimately, you never really want to put it into... I mean, also, if you're single, if you're a young man thinking of investing in one, perhaps you are a student and you think, I'll get one, it'll help me with the ladies. It won't, because if you have it in sofa form and you're lucky enough to get a young lady or man back to your boudoir, right?
Yeah.
When things start to get a bit steamy, you're like, right, hang about. I'll just get out, turn this sofa into a bed. On. It's like fucking crash, bang, wallow. Hold that a sec, will you? No, hold it, the other end. Fuck's sake. Sorry, I didn't mean to swear at you. It's just, it's fucking frustrating. Just, I'll tell you what you do. Go outside the room for a minute. Stand out in the hallway, yeah? Give us 10 minutes, because I need space to operate, because it's fucking bedlam, this. There's bits of wood.
But keep thinking sexy thoughts while you're out there. Keep yourself on the boil if you can. You know, maybe finger yourself a bit. I don't know. Just whatever works.
Now, if a flatmate walks past, don't let them see that you're fingering yourself, because God knows what'll happen.
It's just not
just wait out there. I'll be as quick as I can. But honestly, I need focus. I don't need you in my line of vision, even. It'll irritate me.
I'll be able to get back up to speed once this is sorted. No problem. I'm 21. It's like a fucking hair trigger. No bother at all. But you might need to keep yourself ticking over out there in the hallway.
Then by the time you've finished and you open up and you go, right, you can come back in now. And she's more often than not, she's gone.
She's gone, to be honest. Yeah.
And that's the problem with a futon.
It is. So don't get a futon. We'll leave it there, I think.
Okay.
We've covered a lot of bed stuff. I think we're really making progress. This could be a multi-episode encounter. We'll be back with more next week. Oh, I'm just looking at the Great Bed of Ware, one of the largest beds in the world. I think we mentioned that. That's the one in the V&A, isn't it?
Yeah, you can go and see that once lockdown's over. And according to today's news, it will be quite soon that we can return to the V&A. I think he's going to do a specific announcement about when we can go to the V&A. Yeah.
For the bed museum section of the V&A.
I'm thinking a Top Flight Time Machine outing. It will be paid. It will be paid. You'll have to pay us if you want to join our outing, because we will be giving a talk in the V&A.
Like one of those Jack the Ripper guides that goes around London.
Do you think the V&A would try and throw us out if we started going and doing independent talks?
Very much so, yes.
Everyone gather round. Right, everyone hold the flag up. Right, we'll have flags. Right, everyone stick on these high-vis vests so you know you're in our party. Right, now, this is the biggest fucking bed in the world ever. Excuse me, sir, is this an official talk? No, they're just me mates. You're going to throw me out for talking to me mates about one of the things? That's how we'd get round it.
They're just your mates. Yeah, these Chinese lads. Yeah, good mates of mine. I've known them for ages.
Lovely blokes. Actually, mate, no, I'll be honest with you, mate. You're being a bit racist now.
Why shouldn't I have a load of Chinese mates? Nothing wrong with it.
We're interested in my thoughts on beds.
I mean, we could do walking tours of the park near yours where you hid in the hedge. We could take everyone through the rectangular hedge that goes around the edge of the park. Or we could do walking tours of Sunderland as well.
Yeah, I could do a walking tour of where Judkins shat out of the tree. I go past that quite a lot these days. I've got a new running route that goes past the magical shitting tree, as I call it.
Yeah, it's not out of the question. Anyway, we'll leave it for now. We'll discuss that at the next board meeting. This has been History Box. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.